Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning on a Red Friday. A weird Red Friday, I guess. I forgot the Chiefs played Sunday.
Do you? You're not looking forward to this one, are you, huh? Don't overlook Carolina.
Okay. I keep hearing that. I keep thinking... Here, I just keep seeing that.
Yeah. When was the last time that we could overlook anybody and just blow somebody out? Chicago Bears, week 3 last year.
42-10.
Like, that was the last time. So I'm just telling you, don't overlook anybody in the NFL. Otherwise, they might beat your ass like Cleveland did last night.
We didn't blow them out, but the last time I overlooked somebody was the New England Patriots, and I think that game ended 27-17.
Oh, remember that one up in New England? Was it last year?
Yeah, it was Kadrapius Toney's last
game. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
He got one more chance after having 17 chances the entire season.
Right.
And he dropped it, and it ended up being a pick.
Yep.
And Mahomes lost it again.
That was it. It was over.
And Andy's like, hey, man, I got to, like, get rid of this guy or I'm going to lose my future quarterback.
Right. All of a sudden, he's a healthy scratch and doesn't understand why either.
And then tweeted out, I'm not hurt.
Yeah. Well, we know you're not hurt. You suck. And yeah. It's their way of telling you nicely that you're not very good at what you do anymore. So hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, as they like to
That's
say.
That's where you need the Bill Engvall. Whatever that comedian's name is.
Bill, I think it's Bill Engvall, yeah.
That's where you need the here's your sign drop.
Yeah.
I'm not hurt. Here's your sign.
Yeah.
Actually, you're
no. You're hurt. No, you are. Just like Daniel Jones isn't hurt, right? You
know? Well, now he's playing safety in the...
Yeah, for right the second he is, you know.
Is there a position that he could be better at than quarterback?
Defensive line, I think. Defensive line would be good. Tight end may be
like
a good position for him.
Yeah.
No, it might be. I mean, feel bad for the guy yesterday. I haven't seen an athlete cry in a press conference in quite some
time.
My buddy
and I were having this. I mean, that's tough, dude.
No, it is, of course.
That guy's career is over. Not because he wants it to be, because it has to be.
Yeah, it has to be. But he'll go somewhere as a backup in the offseason. Somebody will take a chance on him.
My buddy and I were having a garage.
Andy Reid.
We were having a garage conversation. Could you imagine Josh Allen as a tight end?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that'd be huge,
right?
Yeah, that would be, yeah.
Like, here we are 5 minutes after getting out of there, and we come back in, like, seeing, like, videos of Josh Allen playing. He's like, he just looks at me, he's like, could you imagine that guy's a tight end? I'd be like, oh, dear God.
Yeah,
that's
oh,
like,
my goodness. Wow. Josh Allen as a tight end would be a wild thing, man.
Taysom Hill would be like, you can't keep getting away with it.
Yeah. You talk about that in the garage. Paul and I were talking about, do we wear pants to watch game shows? I don't know. The conversations are just completely different, I guess.
To watch game shows?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, some of the game shows. Is it a pants on or pants off affair? I mean, you know, if you want to watch your game show with your pants on or your pants off.
Can I get a pants on versus pants off comparison?
Well, yeah. I mean, Bob Barker probably would be pants on type thing, but the dating game may be pants off.
Why are the pants off?
Because you're relaxed.
Why would you wear, like, relaxing pants?
I dated a girl once whose father would come home from work and take his pants off at the front door and throw them on the couch and sit there in his underwear. Yeah.
Just tidy whities.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
What in the world?
What a G.
Red flag.
You think?
About three of them there.
Oh, God, yes. I broke up with her, and she showed up at the house, and my friend's like, you got to go now, and slam the door in her face, and that's the last I've seen her.
I hate to see how she starts arguments. First off, let me take these off. Dad taught me. Oh, man, she's pissed. She's taking the jeans off.
I mean, it was, quite honestly, I didn't date her longer because we were out here and she lived back east, but I never really met the father. I knew the mother because I worked with her mother one summer, and then she hooked me up with her daughter, right? It was bizarre. And
that happens a lot, though. More than you think.
It does, yeah.
Moms are always looking out for their boys.
Or their girls.
Yeah.
And so I was going to KU, and she happened to be going to the University of Nebraska, Kearney. And so I would drive. What a horrible place that was.
UNK, baby.
Oh, God. I mean, man, Ryan Held's the football coach up there now. Go Lopers. But like back in the day, I'm not a fan of going up to Kearney, Nebraska. I didn't really like her, but you know what you do, what you do, right? And she would tell the story about her father taking his pants off every night when he would come home and throw them and then sit there in his underwear. And I was like,
So every game show is pants off for him.
For him, it was, yes. But you're talking about garage conversations. I mean, these are the things that come up. I mean, you know.
I watch Wheel of Fortune every night.
Do you really? Mm-hmm. Pants on or pants off?
Pajama pants.
Okay, there you go. See, that's kind of pants off.
In season.
Yeah.
And then during the summer, it's like the comfy house shorts, you know, like the ones you wouldn't wear in public because they're either like revealing or
10 sizes too big.
You look like Adam Sandler going to get a beer out of the fridge.
Yeah, but that's
like
okay.
You got like a bubble jacket and like gray shorts on.
Yeah, I like those. You save some of your old fat clothes for reminder's sake.
Well,
right?
Those are all gone. But yeah.
Did you get rid of them all? Good for you.
Well,
good
it's taking up space.
Yeah. Good for you, man.
I mean, some other fatties got them. They went to like, so feeding the love, dude.
Yeah.
Boy, last night was fun, man.
It was. Look at the screen right now.
Speaking of garage conversations, this literally happened to me last night. Is how much of an idiot I am. I'm like, dude, whoever's out there with the stencil that's blowing the field right now did it really fast.
Yeah.
Turns out it's a graphic.
Yeah, it is definitely a graphic. Thing. Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Yeah. And it came back, and my buddy's like, come on, man. I was like, oh, never mind. I was like, sorry.
But
sorry.
It looks good, doesn't it? Like,
I've never seen it. Anybody seen that before?
Yes. The last couple of years, they've been doing that, you know, on and off. I've noticed that.
Was it there in the Denver Broncos Chiefs game when Mahomes was like spinning and everything or whatever when they played here and it was just an absolute blizzard?
I don't remember that.
Because that's part of this whole start is like, that's the last like blizzard game I remember that like I was like locked into
because
I was here and I looked out the window and I went, Binkley, it's gonna be tough to get home. Snow's just snow dust, man. It's like I still don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
It's like, all right.
What?
And then that's like that game was just a plethora of snow coming down. And then last night I'm watching it and I'm like, man, I spent a lot of time today talking about how it's supposed to be snowy.
Yeah.
It's like anytime
now. Oh,
and
there it is.
Like flipped. And I was like, all right, we got it right.
And then it looked like so much fun. It looked like backyard football.
Dude.
And Kling texted me last night because at one point, Ian Eagle goes, I don't know what yard line they're on. You know, so obviously, if you're at the game, you had no idea, you know, where these guys were positioned. But it just makes it more fun. And I do love the overlay of the graphic being out there so you can see it on TV. Like, those are some of the innovations that
we
have now,
and then we could all be the pantless armchair quarterback. Like, what's he doing? He's got 5 yards to go. Like,
yeah.
He can't see that, Greg. Oh, sorry.
But don't you think guys have a lot more fun playing in that than they do like on a regular day?
I don't know if fun's the word, but I think they're definitely, their mind is at ease. And I mean this
I get what you mean by that.
I mean this by like they're caught in the moment. Like when you went out and played backyard football on a normal day, you might have the thought of like, man, I hope I don't get tackled by Barry. He's really big and strong. If it's snowing out there, all you care about is getting out there and playing the game.
That's right.
So like, kind of the same where it's like, man, Miles Garrett's on the defensive line. Holy cow, check this out.
Oh, yeah.
Hot shoot. Here we go.
Yeah. And you're
so,
slipping a little bit, but you're like, I think it brings out the kid in you, you know? And that's important, I think, at times in professional sports, especially when you're a team like the Browns who are 2-8 and they got a big win last night, obviously. Mike Tomlin, no longer coach of the year conversation because he lost the game. Is he out too? Like, don't give the award out this year because all the good coaches have lost the game now. And so they're not in consideration anymore. But Cleveland played a good game last night. They may have found their quarterback in Jameis Winston. I mean, going forward, I think, why the hell not? Why overthink this thing, right? You know, may because I don't trust the Browns to do anything right.
No, but I mean, would you not battle behind this guy?
You have said you don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take
tonight?
Speaking
of garage talks.
Yeah. The horses prepare for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm dependent on the Lord.
Mm. Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time.
That's right.
That's the message.
See ball, hit ball.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio, at Huntington Bank Field
there it is.
Today to get him the glory.
Got the sponsor in.
Sure, it feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical.
She's like, all right, back to you guys.
Yeah, all right.
And then
not
as if you can top that, he explains exactly what Bob Fesco just said about this game.
It really was amazing. Like, I was just praying on the sideline because that fourth quarter, it really was like it was a whole paradigm shift. Like, we were playing so well offensively, and then bang, bang, back-to-back drives with turnovers, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, this is really an NFL's film moment. The snow starts pouring down. It starts getting, like, my feet started getting heavy because I'm squishing through the snow. And, man, it was so good. And it was so great to end up getting that win. And
oh, God, it's, how do you not root for that guy? Come on now, let's go.
A true folk hero. I don't know, man. Like, I said this since week one, they need to play Jameis Winston. You never know. He is like a box of chocolates. You literally never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You're going to get some off the wall.
But the box of chocolate has the code on it now.
You didn't used to.
No.
The real ones, remember, where you had to take a bite and put it back in if
Mac
it was coconut.
Has any idea?
The Russell Stovers? He's from Kansas.
But, I mean, was he around before they had the code on the top of the box?
Not old enough, because he was born in 01.
Yeah, they weren't doing QR codes.
No, but they had the code. It says chocolate nougat.
Even still, it didn't make sense, because they were just in like a pattern. So you're like, oh, is this the right?
You had to match them up, and then if somebody took a couple out and mixed them up, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, I'm sure you
That's
did
you? That.
That guy. Yeah. Oh, I would do
come
that.
On. You could always tell the peanut clusters because they kind of stuck through the chocolate a little bit.
Yeah,
things
like
that.
Too much corn.
Yeah.
But no, Jameis Winston, man. Browns do the Chiefs a favor. They beat the Steelers, like I said yesterday. All the top teams just keep losing away, because winning is very hard in the NFL.
It's extremely
hard. Especially with those conditions.
Yeah, it's so hard in the NFL, and that's why we go back to what we want to see this weekend. Just win, baby, man. Just like Virginia Slims. Just win, baby. And so I just want them to get a win, because it is hard to win a game. Because you look at this one last night on paper, Cleveland shouldn't be anywhere near the Pittsburgh Steelers based on record. And they went out there, and they beat them, and they played a good football game, and they won it. And it can happen on any Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever day it is. Just get a win and move on. Just get a win, keep guys healthy, and move on to the next week. That's all it's about in this league right now.
Yeah, I think that the important thing is that, you know, you don't have to worry about other teams in the league, because they have to worry about themselves. And we talked about this yesterday, that Pittsburgh comes off the biggest win of the year on a short week, on the road, with weather conditions. Exhibit A.
Yep.
They lose. It's huge for, obviously, the Ravens. It's big for the Chiefs. It's big for the Bills. And that's one of those things where, like, you got to worry about yourself first. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't worry if, you know, the Chargers are going to lose to the Ravens, and the Ravens are going to move up in the standings, and the Chargers are going to move down in the West. Like, you just have to worry about beating Carolina, whether that score is 48-7 or whether that score is 16-10.
That's it. Doesn't matter.
And, I mean, you know, like, I think we all kind of want our own things, but mm-hmm. we'll get to that. And I'll tell you why I have another Michael Jordan, Patrick Mahomes comparison. Plus, we talk about what Nate Taylor said yesterday from The Athletic on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back in, rolling along on your frigid cold Friday. I got a stat for you guys. It's quite polarizing.
All right.
So Patrick Mahomes plays Bryce Young this weekend.
That's right.
Bryce Young's won what? 3 times in the NFL?
Has it been that many? Has it really been that many? Wow.
Well, he's won 2 this year in back-to-back starts.
Right.
But this is an insane stat via CBS.
Yeah, this is nuts.
Quarterback Bryce Young could win 57 straight games and still have a worse career win percentage than Patrick Mahomes.
God, we hold Patrick Mahomes to a stupid high standard in this town sometimes, don't we? Like, sometimes we forget how good he really has been.
57 straight games.
He has to go 57-0 and still wouldn't have a better winning percentage than Patrick Mahomes does right now. God, that is crazy, right? Stop taking Patrick Mahomes for granted, Mac.
Yeah, what? When Mahomes is on the
like
TV.
Me, what?
Yeah. The question I have before I get into this Mahomes-Jordan comparison, if you're a fan at this game last night, first off, would you have sold your ticket knowing the weather conditions?
I probably would have, because your team's 2-8.
Okay.
Yeah, your team's 2-8. But they didn't, you know?
Okay. If you're at the game,
uh-huh.
and all of a sudden it starts to look like it did in the start of the third quarter,
right.
are you sticking around? Or are you like,
Yeah, once you're there, you're there.
You might as well just ride
it
out.
Yeah, once you're there, you're there. Okay. Yeah,
yeah, I've committed.
Yeah, I'm not a leave game guy.
No.
Leave games early guy, you know. So if I'm there, if I go, I'm staying.
And if you went to that game, you were
prepared.
You knew.
Yeah, you had to have some sort of inkling that unless you were like, you know, dead from the neck up, but like you should know that, you know, it's going to be that way.
Or that big fat shirtless guy.
Yeah. Hey, I told you there would be multiple shirtless fat guys in the crowd, right. And they delivered.
They did.
They delivered.
Right on cue. So this game, again, I know we'll have Mitch Holtis on later, but this is a game in which, and I promise I'll bring this up, where like, I don't know how many times we've seen it, but I know I used to watch it when I was younger, and I've seen it with LeBron James, I've seen it with Kobe Bryant, I've seen it with Tiger Woods, and I've seen it with Michael Jordan, where when you're that guy or you're that main dude, you have a moment where you'll play somebody that's younger than you, that's either a rookie or maybe this rookie is, you know, exceptionally talented, but the better talent and the major guy seems to kind of show why they got here and who they are for why they are.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Jordan do that. And I remember watching the Last Dance documentary, and he was like, number eight or whoever it was for the other team, pretty good. And he's talking about Kobe. He's like, I'll guard him the rest of the game. Because that made Jordan say, hey, like, still my league, kid. And with Bryce Young coming to this game, who's clearly never going to be what a lot of people might have thought he was going to be in college, I think that we know that now. But when do we get this Mahomes trait that's similar to Jordan? Because there's so many type of A1 personality Jordan dominance Mahomes traits that you see, like last year when he lays on the field after, you know, slugging all the way through the season.
Right.
You can't give him the ball. He's a killer. 13-second game. You know, he's the one that shows the pettiness where he does like the shrug and he does the counting on the hands. We've seen that before. Is this one of those games where like it's been a season in which everybody's kind of doubted Mahomes, kind of given him a little bit of a, you know, unwanted narrative? Like, I don't know if he's still got what he used to have. First of all, he's 28, 29. Mm-hmm. And it's like, is this one of those games where like Bryce Young's like, yeah, I've won two in a row, sweet. And then Mahomes goes out there and it's just like, oh, that's Mahomes. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that can do it. And that's kind of like, I'm wondering if like that could be this game where it's like the, hey kid, this is my league. And Bryce Young goes into a coma of just like mesmerization of being like, I had no idea what it looked like in real life. Now I do. That's the 31 of 36 for 355 yards and four touchdowns, and we just got our ass kicked because Bo Nix didn't get that.
Right. No, he did not get that.
He survived that trait. We haven't seen that trait.
Bo Nix right now probably has no fear factor for Patrick Mahomes, nor should he.
I hope not.
Nor should he have a fear factor at this point in time, right?
Yeah. For many years.
It could be a great rivalry, you know?
But it would be nice to see Mahomes do that. And I know that that's not necessarily his personality. Like, I know that he has a lot of personality traits that resemble Jordan and Kobe and Tiger and these guys.
Right.
But like, we see Steph do it. Like, he hits a three on a team at like age 36 and puts him to sleep, does the night thing. I'd like to see Mahomes go out against Carolina. I don't care if Carolina's terrible or not. Just dart a few passes and then just kind of do the, you know, the Hosmer backpack or the Drew Lock back, you know, whatever his celebration may be. I kind of want to see that little from Patrick.
Yeah, but I don't think we are, you know, and
why not?
Because I don't think he's that type of guy that wants to embarrass others, you know, at times. Like, I think there are certain people he wants to embarrass. I don't know that Bryce Young falls into that category.
I don't necessarily Bryce Young. I'm just saying it's like, it just so happens to be he's up.
He's
like,
up next.
It's just,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I would think maybe if it was a guy that was kind of challenging and like maybe CJ Stroud would be that type of guy where everybody's giving him all the accolades and he's the next Patrick Mahomes, or maybe even Caleb Williams because he's been looked at as the next Patrick Mahomes. I don't know that Bryce Young, and I say this on a Friday and watch Bryce Young go out there and have a game on Sunday, I don't know that he really resonates on the meter of guys that are up and coming in this league that could be something in the NFL.
Well, he might resonate the narrative that's been going around about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs this season.
What's that?
that they're just not the same Chiefs, that they've been squeaking by, that they don't have what it takes, that, oh, Mahomes is having the worst year of his career. He's throwing the most interceptions in his career. And you better believe that I know that he knows that people are saying that.
Oh, I'm sure Patrick knows that they're saying that, but I think Patrick will do his talking in January and February, you know, when it matters.
And that's fair.
And he'll save his, you know, oh, you didn't think I was that good, when they win that third Super Bowl. And then he'll have really something to stand on, because I just don't think the regular season, the Patrick Mahomes matters anymore as much as it does winning in January and getting those three-peats. And, like, I don't think Patrick cares about putting on a show maybe in the regular season. Now, if a game takes place and it gets that way, you know, as the momentum starts to go, I'm sure he'll embrace every moment of that. But I think Patrick Mahomes truly does, like, save all of his talking now until January, because if he talks right now and they don't get that three-peat, people are going to dump it. Like, I think Patrick Mahomes is in such an unwinnable position. Unless he goes out there and is perfect and throws for 500 yards, people are questioning what's going on with Patrick Mahomes. And then if they don't win the Super Bowl, people will say this dynasty's over. What are they going to do? Is Travis Kelce going to move on? Has Mahomes lost the step? Did Andy Reid lose his fastball? Like, I just think it's such a no-win situation for Patrick Mahomes right now, because everybody's ready to criticize Patrick Mahomes, you know? And I think that's terrible. I don't know how we got to this point. I do, because it's jealousy and people are tired of the Chiefs winning all the time. But how we got to this level where if Patrick Mahomes isn't perfect and brilliant on a day, people want to talk smack on Patrick Mahomes. Like, it's ridiculous to me.
I think it's because everybody wants what I want. I think everybody wants what I want. And that's what I want, is I want to see that game of, I want to see what used to be. I want to see the shiny new toy that nobody knows how to stop. Yeah. And everybody watches and everybody talks about.
But those days are over,
Why?
I think. Because the league has changed a lot. I mean, you've got such great talent on the... Well, I mean...
Because I've seen it. I've seen glimpses of it. I've seen the throw to Worthy against the Chargers.
Yeah.
I've seen the game against New Orleans where he was, you know, showing some signs. It's there. I just think that, like, he has so many different ways to beat you that in the past, I mean, he has what he had in the past. He has a faster receiver than Tyreek Hill, whether you believe it or not. He does.
Yeah.
And I'm not
saying that. He has better running backs than he did when Tyreek Hill was here, too.
And he still has Travis Kelce. I mean, I know it's not 2019 Travis Kelce.
He's pretty damn good, though.
But, I mean, this is the team where it's like, you know, I don't know, man. It's
because
I'm not saying that Carolina's doing talking.
No.
I'm just saying they happen to be the next team there. Like, this could be Pittsburgh. This could be Cleveland. This could be whoever is the next team on the schedule. The Raiders next week.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, and I'm not questioning his talent. I'm just saying, like, I want to be, like, have you seen The Incredibles?
Yeah.
You know, the very end when the kid's, like, the fast kid, Jack, and they're like, you can be fast. It's not, you can't be super fast because they don't want everybody to know you're a superhero, but be fast enough to where it, like, doesn't look off.
Okay.
I feel like that's what we've been doing with Patrick Mahomes. We've been like, hey, man, like, you don't need to do all that. You don't need to do it. Because, like, there's no matter what you do, like, you could scheme for Andy Reid's plays that you see on the regular season. You can't scheme for Patrick Mahomes' talent.
You can't scheme for the improvisation that Patrick Mahomes has. But he said something a couple of weeks ago that we talked about where he had mentioned that he realizes now this is a complete football team and he doesn't have to go out there and do that. And he can play the field position game and he can play a smarter brand of football and a different brand of football because he knows he's got a defense that's going to go out there and make stops and make plays and he doesn't have to go out there and be Superman anymore. And I'm fine with that because I think, you know, the glory days that people want from Patrick Mahomes, I mean, they're so long ago now. And we're not going to get back to those because I think Patrick Mahomes has changed as a quarterback. Like, he's matured in life as you mature as well, too.
Sure.
You know, you go from your early 20s to hitting it hard and going out every night to you get to your 30s. You're like, all right, maybe one night a week. And then you start to slow down and you realize how life has presented itself. And you make those adjustments as life is making adjustments to you. And I think what this team did, and I think this is a better team than Patrick Mahomes had in 18 and 19 when they were putting up all of these numbers in 20 because you didn't have a defense back then. Now you have a defense out there and you don't have to go out there and do that. What they were doing back in those days was very hard to sustain and very hard to win games doing it at that clip. Patrick Mahomes just did it in such a way we were all mesmerized and thought that's the way it could be. But like watching the game last night, especially in the first half, Myles Garrett had three sacks in that game.
He was the best player on the field last night.
He was incredible last night. what's he going to do against Wanya Morris, right? Like, so you got to think about that, right?
But like, to not think about that.
But that's where I'm going. Like, the talent is also so much better on the defensive side of the football than it's ever been. Coaches are scheming better than it's ever been before. And you look at Patrick Mahomes right now, he doesn't have to go out there and be that guy anymore because he can rely on his defense. And so I don't want to say he's toned it down a little bit, but I think he's matured as a player, and I think he's gotten better as a player, and I think the team is better for it because you don't have to go out there and try to get 15 yards on every play and 20 yards here and 30 yards there. You're okay with 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and if you have to punt and let your defense take over for three plays, then you get it back in better field position. So I think Patrick Mahomes has just matured like a guy in his late 20s, early 30s does when you wake up and you realize, I can't keep drinking till 3 a.m. at Bobby Baker's. I mean, I don't care who I'm chasing around. Like, this has got to stop.
And again, someone's getting the misconception, like, same person's texting in, like, I think if you're showing up the worst team in the league, you have the wrong attitude. It's not that you're showing up the Panthers.
No, you're not showing up anybody. They're pros, man.
It's the fact that, like, you're showing the league and the naysayers, I'm still Patrick effing Mahomes. I can do this whenever I want. And, you know, again, like, it's not about stat. I don't need to see Mahomes do this all year long. I just want to see it one more time. I just want to see that game where it's like, what do we used to say? Oh, shoot, Mahomes is going God mode. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we would say. And it was like, I haven't seen that since the first half of the Cincinnati Bengals game.
Yeah.
And then lost the second half. That's the last time, dead serious, that's the last time I've sat on my couch and been like, damn, dude. That's
talking about the playoff game.
The playoff game. They lost the second half because the morale in the locker room went to you know what.
Yeah.
But am I missing it? And maybe the Eagles game?
I was going to say Eagles.
Yeah, the Super Bowl game was pretty big.
And again, you don't need to remind me in the text line that he's worried about the playoffs. He's worried about the postseason. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that, dude. Because the two types of Mahomes that I love is the Mahomes I saw in the first half against that Cincinnati Bengals game where it was like, no matter what you do, you cannot touch him. And we saw it for like a quarter against the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. Like that throw to Kelce and like that first drive, you were like, if he's this, like it doesn't matter if our defense gives up 75 points, he'll score 76. And I know that's not the team anymore. But the other thing too is like my two variations of Mahomes that I love is where I know that he's the best player on the planet of Earth. And the other one is when he just methodically cuts you away like a surgeon in the 2-minute warning.
I thought his drive in overtime against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was pretty spectacular this year. I mean, I thought that was
that's surgical. That was a surgical
just move it down the field type of drive.
Yeah, surgeon general warning about to get cut.
Yeah, but what did he do? He needed to do it in that moment, right?
He
needed to do it in that moment. And that's where I think we are with Patrick Mahomes. We're not going to go out there and empty our toolbox and I've equated the regular season for the last couple of years to the preseason. And I know some people get angry about that, but I don't really give a rip because that's the way they look at it.
Yeah.
Each game is a chapter in a book, and the ending of the book is the playoffs. And you're going to take what works best every week and combine that and use that in January when it matters most. And they're not about to empty their toolbox to put things on tape, to show people what they have, to quote-unquote run up a score, make it look pretty or anything like that. They're saving a lot of stuff back. So when January comes, I think, and like we did last year, you saw a completely different offense in January than we did in the regular season because they weren't about to let everybody know that Travis Kelce's still pretty damn good until we needed him to be really good, and that's in January. And so I think each one of these games is a chapter. It's a learning experience. You get good things. You get bad things. That worked. That didn't work. Let's put all the good things on this list. Let's put all the bad things on this list. And then when we get to January, let's combine everything from the good list and just go out there and beat the hell out of people.
Well, let me ask you guys an honest question. Wouldn't you love to see that Patrick Mahomes on Sunday?
Oh, of course you'd love to see it.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm there with you.
But that's for me, that's the difference between the need and the want on this thing. I'd love to see it, sure, but I don't need to see it, right? I just need to see win. I just need to see this team get a victory. And as they continue, but you may not see it again. I mean,
tell me that.
You just may not see it again because it's a completely different team. Like, I don't really want to see that first year of Patrick Mahomes again because I don't want to sit there and say, well, if you don't score 55, we're not winning.
Well, that's not Mahomes. That's the Chiefs.
You know, if you don't score 55, we're not winning. And so I still think Patrick Mahomes, and I know Patrick Mahomes, still has the ability to stick that dagger in you when he needs to. And if he doesn't need to, he's probably just not going to do it. And that's Andy Reid, too, because as much as we look at Andy Reid as this, you know, this unbelievable football coach. He's also an unbelievable human being that at the end of the day still has respect for the game and probably doesn't like to embarrass people unless they've done something to him. And then he'll get back at you, Raiders, or you know, whoever the case may be that we've seen, you know, Eagles or whatever the case. Like, I think Andy Reid just respects the game and respects the coaches and respects the players so much that when they get to a certain point, he's just not going to go out there and embarrass you. He just doesn't want to do that. And I think that kind of trickles down to everybody. But if they need to, they will get out there and kick you in the nuts.
Shout out Sean Barber, a.k.a. Barbershop, for fact-checking me. It was Dash, not baby Jack-Jack. That's my bad. Jack-Jack was...
Barber is always up listening.
That's how he rolls, man. He's probably working out, man.
I mean, yeah. My goodness.
Jack-Jack's the very the little baby. Yeah, yes, Dash, okay, yes. That, like, that makes more
not
sense.
Not too fast. Slow down. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he enough. Gets second place. Yeah, gotcha.
Patrick Mahomes may get a chance to get the ball back many times in this game if, in fact, the pass rushing get there. This was Nate Taylor yesterday on the pass rushing issues.
I attribute it to injuries to Mike Dana. Yeah. He's been dealing with the pec, the calf, the wrist. Obviously Charles Omenihu was in the mix because, you know, he's coming off an ACL injury. George Koloftis still plays just about every snap possible, but I think sometimes he gets a little the thing about the 4th-and-2 run by Josh Allen is like, man, that is so out of character in terms of like rush lane integrity from George Karloftis. Like, I was just stunned that I'm like, you're going for a sack when you should be trying to contain a guy because you're only protecting 2 yards. It's not like it's on 30. It's not 4th-and-10, man. Like, he just tried to use a speed rush, and I just thought that, man, that's not the right time, and that seems so uncharacteristic of what Karloftis is on a down-to-down basis. It doesn't help, too, that, like, Chris Jones has been this close, right? I mean, he absolutely destroyed the New Orleans Saints offensive line, but for whatever reason, he just couldn't get the sack. Same with last week, where there's 2 times in the first half, you could tell Josh Allen is like screaming inside because he's like, oh my Lord, like where did he come from? But because there's no one else generating pressure, it's not like Chris led you know, right into the lap of, you know, Mike Dana or Joshua Uche. They need to play Uche more. Like, you got to see what you traded for. It's been almost a month now. Like, he clearly knows the plays. Like, just cut him loose. So, there's a number of factors. I just think teams are getting smart now about getting the ball out of their hands. And because you don't have someone like L'Jarius Sneed with Trent McDuffie, all of a sudden those easy throws are just more available now.
So that's Nate Taylor, The Athletic, talking about the issues of the defensive line. So we talk about what we want to see from Patrick Mahomes. Would you rather see 31 for 36 for 390 and 4 touchdowns, or this team pitch a shutout?
Oh, I'd love him to pitch a shutout.
There you
but
go.
You're talking to a guy who loves defensive football. Like, that's how I grew up. You know, 10-9 finals every Sunday, right? Like, right. I love defensive football. And to me, there's nothing better when it's 3rd and long and you got DT or somebody lined up on the outside. They blitz the quarterback, blow that dude up, and, you know, the fumble and all that. Like, pitching a shutout, I think, is difficult to do in this league, obviously. And so that I would love. They pitch a shutout. I'm feeling much better about this team than they win 55-54.
It is both. Give me both, please.
35-0. Like, I say it every week, right?
You might actually get it. Yeah.
You should get it.
Could get it. Like, it's. I've been doing that for now 4 years. I don't
gotta
know.
Hit
that
once.
I would think at one point in time something like that's gonna hit. Right?
What's that? I think it's an old TV. It was an old TV show or an old bit where the guy keeps guessing like the same name, and then finally gets the question.
You're thinking about wings, and you're thinking about Trivial Pursuit, and it's
and then finally gets the question like, say it. He's like, I don't know.
Oh god, it was like Margot Robbie or something.
No, not Margot Robbie. That's a really hot actress these days.
Australian. Oh,
I knew that I was going to reference it because my dad always brought this up, and, you know, obviously same wavelength.
And Margaret.
And then they finally get the question, and he's like,
the fact that you know an irrelevant Wings thing, you may be the only other person on earth.
My dad is very diverse in media, so like,
Wings
always
is the greatest
that
show.
Because there was one time where I was like, he brought it up because we were actually playing
Mackie
that.
Knows when who Wings is.
No, I mean, I barely know Wings, dude. No, I really know it because of Quagmire from Family Guy. Yeah. He's a pilot. He's like, Wings.
I love Wings.
Yeah. And I think they fall asleep at the brewery that night. Yeah. And then my dad always brought this up because we played Trooper Pursuit as a kid. And I'd always be like, Barry Bonds. I'd be like, this man played for Pittsburgh and the San Francisco Giants, and his godfather was Willie McCovey. And I'd be like,
Willie Mays.
My dad would be like, come on. I'm like, I don't know.
Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah. So, no, I don't know, man. Like, I think this game can be that game, though. I think, like Max says, this game can be both. This could be 35-0.
Yeah, I would love it. Absolutely love it. But I'm not expecting it either, you know? I'm not expecting it. I would love to wake up in the morning on Christmas and find $1 million in cash. I know I'm getting toothbrush heads, and
I find $1 million cash, the mean thing I'm doing is going out my door and looking in the sky and see there's like a helicopter to see if there's anybody down the street that I shouldn't recognize.
And then you're calling us and saying it was nice working with you.
See you guys later.
No, I'd still do it. I just wouldn't care.
So we'd see it one more time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it'd be in one more hour.
Yeah. Well, the future is coming, whether you believe it or not, and robots are a key to that future.
Thank God.
For two different types of stories on the other side here on Vesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Vesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5.
Great choice. Holy in a gatto, Mr. Roboto.
Wow, I'm surprised he knew that song. Let me ask you this question.
Why are you such a hater on his knowledge?
Well, no, dude, it's rough.
Because yesterday.
Yeah, that was shocking.
Right?
Yeah.
Was it not?
Yeah, because I had the conversation with my buddy. I was like, so we're sitting at lunch. You want to tell it?
No, you go ahead. It's fine. I'm perplexed. So we were sitting at lunch yesterday.
And you brought that stat.
And I brought up the stat of, I don't even remember what it was right now.
Both guys were born in the same town.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was Ken Griffey Jr. and Stan Musial born in the exact same town in Pennsylvania, 49 years apart on the same day.
And we're all three at this moment going, wow, that's weird. That's interesting.
That's weird. And Matt goes,
15 seconds later.
Who's Stan?
He's the Stan guy.
And then I got on Baseball Reference, and I just started reading baseball players.
He's dead.
I told you guys, I didn't grow up watching baseball. I didn't have a dad who was watching baseball. Wasn't in my house.
That's fair.
Wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
And by the time he's growing up, steroids had killed it.
It was the early 2000s.
I think you'd be shocked at how many people my age would be right there with me. Like, sports nerds like me, my friends, man.
Kramer's
baseball's
an
not a thing.
His age.
Yeah.
Kramer's like an encyclopedia of baseball. And I'm like, dude, okay.
Right.
I thought maybe you'd be crushed by the steroids. Because, you know, you and I grow up, we're fluently, like, able to pay attention during the 97 to 2000 season where everything
great.
Just... I mean, I would get home from... This is literally my life, right? I would get home from school at 2:35 every day. And I would go straight to my house and turn on WGN to watch the Cubs and the Cardinals play because it was Sosa McGuire during the day with Harry Carey talking.
Oh,
that's sick.
And that was what I did during the
summer. Yeah,
and then in the summer, I'd be like, all right, 1 o'clock is Martha Stewart's craft show.
That's awesome.
And 2 o'clock is WGN's pregame show with Harry Carey and whoever he was with.
Yeah,
and then
Steve Stone. Yeah.
And then 2:35, it was. All right, here come the Cubs.
Right.
And you're like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, no, it was.
That's what I did.
Yeah, baseball was, you know, I like the steroid era. I still think it was good for the game, obviously.
Awesome.
It brought the game back. Like, you know, and again, I got 10 years on you, so yeah. I'm watching. I saw McGuire in person hit number 36 that year at Busch Stadium.
Nice.
Like, it was awesome.
I watched him hit batting practice.
Yeah, right. So it was cool. Like, we were driving back from New Jersey to go back to KU. Me and my buddy Drew were like, let's. Stop. The Cardinals are playing. Why wouldn't we want to see if McGuire could hit a homer?
Right.
We sat like in the upper deck, and you know, that was back when you could bribe the beer vendor and just bring your cup back and you give them a little bit of a tip and they constantly fill
it's
your beer
when you
up.
You could sit in your seat and smoke a dart.
You could. No, it's about, it's about that time. Yeah, no, it was. Yeah. Right
smoking
about that time. Yeah.
Left field.
Left field is smoking. Right field is not. But it's St. Louis. Everybody smokes. But I think seeing that was like one of the coolest sports moments I have. Like in that year, that summer of 98, seeing McGuire hit a home run in person was unbelievable. And then we used to go to, you know, bars and whatnot and watch, McGuire and Sosa are playing tonight. Let's go down to, you know, why am I forgetting the name of the bar? It was on 23rd in Iowa in Lawrence, the King's Place or something. I'm drawing a blank.
King's Place?
I wish, right? but we used to go to bars. Like that was appointment viewing back then. You'd go watch, you know, what was going on with Sosa McGuire was a big deal. So
Sosa hit two today. He's up one ahead of McGuire.
Yeah,
McGuire hit two today. He's now one ahead of Sosa.
Holy smokes. That was what ESPN would break into everything and show you those at-bats and all that kind of stuff. And then it ended because we had morals or whatever invade the game and took that fun out of it. And here we sit for that era that was right, for a while in baseball. I think it's back now because you have superstar players that are very relatable and identifiable and likable and, you know, whatnot. And congratulations, Bobby Witt Jr., unanimous number two selection in the MVP race yesterday to Aaron Judge. Congratulations to Bobby Witt.
Yeah, what a joke.
People are like, oh, Aaron Judge, unanimous MVP. So, somebody said they were surprised to see Aaron Judge win the MVP. I'm like,
not win it, but unanimously.
Yeah, unanimously won it. Yeah. But we'll Bobby Witt later. Unanimously number two. So congratulations, then. Juan Soto unanimously number three. But
I mean, just absolutely get the hell out of here. But unanimous number two.
Baseball got this period of time, and I can understand as a kid growing up when you did why you wouldn't, especially living in Kansas City.
There's
no reason to watch baseball.
Yeah, 913, 98 BB here, and baseball wasn't huge. No idea who Stan is either.
Okay,
yeah.
How many people on the text line saying they do know?
Oh, yeah. Stan, from the 816, does Matt think Babe Ruth's a candy bar? So there's good. Both
you
sides.
Know Reggie Jackson's a candy bar, too, you know? Or yeah. Ken Griffey Jr.'s a candy bar. I had one
Somebody
of those.
Somebody says it's called the Salty Dog.
No, that's not the one
that's
I'm looking
drink,
for.
That's a drink, though. That's absolutely terrible.
23rd and Iowa, like nights.
You ever had a salty dog?
No.
It's like grapefruit vodka and salt on the rim.
Well, that doesn't sound
You're supposed to drink it when you're a little hangy.
Okay. You
know? Okay.
No, I get it. I understand like why you're probably not as much into like baseball.
Yeah.
I'm getting there now. Hey, I'm trying, guys.
Don't.
Yeah.
If you're already this far out, don't jump in. Well, then you'll start worrying about slash lines and it's not.
Well, you don't need to worry about that kind of stuff.
Well, just
worry
about, this is just coming from a guy who's like, if you're worried about yak and, you know, like.
Well, yeah, that's
throws
fair.
Behind the line.
EPA, yeah. All that
you
stuff,
you
yes.
wake up
you're
thinking
like, you know,
about that kind of stuff.
His release point's a little
fair.
Yeah, don't,
yeah,
dude.
No, I won't do that.
You'll be like me and you'll be playing Strat-O-Matic baseball, rolling dice on cards.
I never played that. I couldn't tell you how Strat-O-Matic was played in my life.
And, so awesome.
And you used to play. That's funny to me. Because
I love
if anybody would have played it, it should have been the old guy, right?
Dad played it, and then he just introduced it to me and my buddies one summer when it was like a gazillion degrees outside. He's like, you guys ever play Strat-O-Matic baseball? I'm like, no.
King Arthur's. That's the place. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. And my buddy was like, no, I don't know what that is. He's like, oh, well, you roll the dice, and if you roll this number, it's on your card. If you roll these numbers, it's on my card, and then it's based on stats. And so then we're like, okay, we both knew how to keep stats because me and my buddy had kept score for slow pitch softball games. So we knew how to do everything. And I still do it when I go to Royals games and cover for the station. I'll get
have to so you know what the hell went on.
Right.
And that's the only way you know.
Yeah, and so like we would, you know, have like those dream matchups where it's like, all right, I got, you know, Randy Johnson pitching. Who do you have? He's like, well, I got, you know, Ichiro Suzuki hitting. And it was like that sort of aspect. It was like,
that's fun.
These stats versus these stats every single time. And then the Barry Bonds card of 2001 was probably the most disgusting card I've ever seen because there were seven. I know nobody cares about this, but there were seven clean home runs. I mean, if you rolled a 2-4 home run, and if you rolled a 2-5, 2-4 through 2-10, automatic home run, whereas other numbers, you'd roll it, and it'd be like home run 1 through 8, double otherwise. Bonds was just like, these are all home runs.
All home runs.
This sounds really fun, actually.
It's awesome.
This sounds dope.
It was awesome. I think I still have one of the original games. You can find it on the internet, but they're really expensive.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're like $135 for a game of Strat-O-Matic baseball.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's other ways to get you. There's two different sides of a card. You can get really into it or just like the generic. You'd get lost in time. I promise you, dude. I would still play to this day.
I'd nerd out. That'd be fun.
And the reason I was playing because my dad, because he was a huge Big Red Machine fan. And the Joe Morgan years.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Oh, he loved them.
I love to know people's like baseball fandom and how they kind of got into
it. That's where
like,
he got it. It was the Reds.
Yeah.
He was like, he's like, that lineup. He goes, you had Pete Rose, Joe Morgan. Like, all these guys. I'm like, all right, fair enough.
Could you imagine playing with Pete Rose before he was gambling on stuff?
I'd like to play with him when he was gambling.
I knew somebody who did and wasn't so great.
One thing you can't gamble with moving forward are the Major League Baseball umpires. Yep. According to Major League Baseball, it will test robot umpires.
Yay.
Finally got smart. They will test robot umpires as a part of a challenge system, though there's semantics, during spring training at 13 ballparks hosting 19 teams, which could lead to regular season usage in 2026.
That's next year, ladies and
gentlemen. That's
correct. Yeah, that's awesome.
All in for this? We're all 100%. Good? Robot umps?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Angel Hernandez is going, how can I destroy the laboratory?
Right, yeah.
This also proves to me that Terminator 2 is the most accurate movie of all time.
I'll be back.
Have you seen Terminator 2?
Yes.
Okay. Have you seen Terminator 1?
Yes. Well, okay. I haven't seen the
Have you seen The Godfather?
You don't need to see.
I haven't seen Godfather 2. Need to see Godfather 2.
Greatest sequel of all time.
Yeah, I know.
I'll see The Godfather later at lunch.
Yeah. I thought it was Matt Kidd. I got a couple of places he can find himself. But no, the other thing that's weird is like, have you seen that like Elon has got these like AI robots? That you can like talk to and have conversations with?
They drive the Tesla for you.
I saw a Cybertruck this morning. It was crazy. Evergreen Flooring. Shout out to them. That's who was in front of me. It was crazy to see it because like I got on the highway.
Had you not seen a Cybertruck before?
Not at night.
Oh.
And it was like this bright strip light. Whoa. That's their headlights. And I like look behind me. I'm like, is this, am I getting pulled over? That's and creepy. Like, and then it like passed me and I was like, oh, cool. Side of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was with me the whole way, dude. It was Evergreen Flooring. Yeah. So shout out to them. But it was a Cybertruck white at night. Craziest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, wow. I've never seen one at night now that you say that.
Yeah, see them in the day.
You see them all over the place, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, why?
But no, Kim Kardashian's in love with her AI robot.
Yeah, they like were holding hands or something.
Would you ever have one? Like a robot around the house?
What, am I Rosie from the Jetsons?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Donald.
I mean, remember Rosie was the maid on the Jetsons? Do you know the Jetsons, Mac?
Yes.
You do.
His son, Elroy.
Yeah, we had Boomerang, so
Jane,
I got all the old
his
cartoons.
His wife, Jane, was hot.
But she took all his money. Have you seen the Family Guy skit where they do that?
No.
Well, maybe I have.
Yes, I have seen one Family Guy with the Jetsons.
He takes the dollar out, and she takes all the money like normal, and then it just stops. She's like, no.
Yeah.
I gave you this. You don't take this. God.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Daughter Judy.
Yeah, robot umps and robot boyfriends.
Not
that's where we're at.
Enough. I don't need that.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah. Remember the robot dogs at Christmas time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes. Remember Teddy Ruxpin? Do you remember the robot bear that sang
to you? Do you have a Roomba?
We used to. Then the dog got scared of it, so we had to get
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Did you put it on Marketplace and make like $300?
I don't know. I think it may still just be sitting there, but we don't use it anymore.
Ah, dude, I'll buy it.
You want
it?
Say,
yes, yes. Hit me for up. Sure.
I don't know if it even works.
Mac
it was
it
a
for
generic.
His in the basement.
Mac vacuum. Yes, Mom.
She's a nice lady. Nice. Coming up on the other side, we'll get into Andy Reid and why he is the greatest coach to ever do it. Or, well, couple more seasons, you can solidify that answer. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, and it is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.